And, you know, I think one of the real challenges from a branding standpoint, we all talk about brands and getting involved in these programs type cattle, but I think we have to be realistic about that too. And I've made up this word, I don't know if it's true, but the point of value convergence or the term. And what I was trying to get at here, that is the point where a product moves from being a commodity to actually being a branded product or added value type product. And my analogies are Jif and Starbucks. That Jif sells at a premium to your generic or store brands of about 30% when it's on the shelf. Jif peanut butter does. And did a little bit of research, and actually the peanut growers who, Jif actually does put a little higher grade of peanut, I don't even know what that is, into it, but they get paid a couple pennies more per pound or bushel or whatever it is for their peanuts. They do have a little higher quality product, but they don't capture anywhere near the value of those producers of Jif because they don't own the brand. Jif owns the brand, they create the value, and they benefit from it. Same with Starbucks. I'm sure that maybe that Colombian grower there is getting a few more cents for his coffee, but he's not getting anywhere near the $3 per cup that Starbucks is getting. And so I think we have to, if we're really going to capture a lot of that value, we're going to have to be involved with either ownership stake or in a system that carries the product all the way through and actually owns the brand. We want to be a low-cost producer of value. So we talked about picking our partners well. And I just add there, too, I've seen a big key to making that work is commitment. And it sounds simple, too, but I've seen it from both sides. They work really, really well when everything's going well, the two sides buying and selling the cattle and working together and exchanging information, right up to the point where the cow-calf guy can get a nickel more a pound for those calves from somebody else, or right up to the point where the guy can buy that same set of calves or a similar set of calves for a penny or two less. And if that's all the level of commitment there is in a system like that, it is not going to survive. So a brand's a promise. Promises are a lot like babies. They're easy to make, hard to deliver, and even harder to see to maturity. So we must have a story to tell, and we must have a way to tell it. Again, some of this is pretty simple, but advertising, promoting, getting the word out, documenting what our cattle will do, providing the information to the upstream people is becoming really, really critical. What I've found interesting is that the supply chain up above us understand the value differences. They see it every day, and they have great pencils. They know what those value differences are. Where they struggle is they cannot identify those consistently and find out where those good genetics are. Everyone uses good bulls, good management. And so it comes down to whether or not you have the data and the information and relationships to document and validate that. And along with commitment, size, of course, is really, really important. With that group, with Allied, the main reason that those group of seed stock producers got together is because any of us as individuals, we could go and sit down with JBS or Five Rivers or Nurse Kendall or whoever it is and tell them the story about our customers' calves and the genetics we're putting into them. And then we could, you know, have the little caveat at the end and say, and we can maybe provide 5,000 calves or 10,000 calves. And they'd say, well, that's nice. That's really good. But as a group, when we could go in there with representing 30 breeders who sell 6,000 bulls, who have a commercial customer base with 600,000 calves, and then we had an opportunity to access maybe 150 to 200,000 head of those calves, then they became truly, truly interested. And I think that is what we're going to see more and more of, is that we're going to have to work together to get the size and commitment. And I'm sure all of you out here know, and it's frustrating too, because I can call up the feed yards and I can have a string of calves of 500 calves, and they don't have to be very good, and I've got a lot of interest in them. If I have 50 head of calves, it's a much tougher deal. Size matters, volume matters, and so we are going to have to work together there to make that work. I've talked about that commitment side a couple times. You probably have all heard the story about the chicken and pig, but they were walking down the road together and they saw the sign and it said, ham and eggs, $1.99. And the chicken looked over to the pig and says, see, we're in the same business. Pig thought about it for a little while and he says, like heck we are. For you, it's just a day's work. For me, it's a real commitment. So, but capturing value becomes a teamwork issue, whether we're working on the same side, we know what information we're going to provide. And I pulled this off of Tom Peters' thing, but he kind of said that everyone who goes out to differentiate, brand their product, and create value needs to answer or ask these five questions. What do we stand for? How are we unique? What do our customers want? What information do we need to make a better product and to be sustainable? And what information must we provide to our customers so that they can capture the value and utilize our product effectively? Whoa. I don't know what happened there. Finally, systems approach. There's been a lot of talk about documentation, whether or not age verification is going away. It certainly looks like it probably is. I'm one of those that believe that source process and genetic verification are going to continue to play a role, and there's going to be a lot of these companies documenting a lot of things from a management standpoint. There's still going to be tremendous opportunities there. And a lot of these feed yards and or packers are looking at age and source verification as kind of an indication of overall quality and management, genetics as well. Certainly we're going to have to play a more active role in marketing, and not just in market timing. That used to be our focus when I was at CattleFax, was picking the right time to market your cattle, and that's still important. Anyone who sold their calves in July versus November, you feel a lot smarter if you sold your calves here the last couple weeks than if you did during the summer. But at the same token, I think that we're seeing enough price spread in these cattle, we're seeing enough differentiation that we not only have to focus on the proper timing, but also getting the right price point. And sadly, when we talk about creating value, we don't know what happens to our calves once they leave the ranch gate. And I picked this up, but they interviewed this gentleman, which I know you can't believe, but he was actually a drug addict. And he had a very normal middle-class upbringing. But somewhere some things went drastically wrong. And in closing, this slide really doesn't mean anything. Dr. Gosi sent it to me, and it was entitled 20 Reasons Why Women Live Longer Than Men. And there was a bunch of these slides. But I guess the point is that we just have to be willing to think out of the box to get the job done when it comes to marketing. And I truly, truly believe that this is the best of times.